It's the True Faith Podcast. Newcastle have been beaten on a shocking night in Burnley, 1-0. Late goal has killed us. I'm Alex Hurst, Ben Wade, Andy Bolland, Mickey Collins, Si Campbell here. Full house, the original podcast crew. It's been a while. It's a shame that we'll have to meet in such disappointing circumstances. Mickey, how deflated are you after that result?
Really deflated. Although it wasn't an unexpected game. Look, if you looked at it from a neutral perspective, it was diabolical. Start to finish, it was so boring. We've created very, very little until the last 5 minutes. But then neither really did they. It was just a dull, dull game of football that was going to be separated by one goal. And just I don't want to blame Perez because he should never have been given the ball there. It was absolutely stupid to pass it to him there when everyone's out of position. When he's got two men around him, like the best thing that could happen.
He's fouled, like he's definitely fouled. Just explaining, people are watching the slow motion on Sky now, and he's definitely fouled.
I mean, is he though? Like,
yeah.
But anyway, keep talking, mate. You have to keep talking.
Yeah. What was I saying?
You're right, Richie. It's a silly ball.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a stupid pass that he should never have gotten. The best thing that he could have achieved there is just clearing it, which should have just been done first. Sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes I try and be too clever when it's not at all necessary. And it's cost with the game.
Yeah. Sai, is it purely and simply a case of last weekend we enjoyed the fruits of such a game against Palace and we're all cock a hoop, and if you're going to play this kind of football, which we're all more than happy to accept on Saturday and Saturday night, is this just the natural way things go? You win some, you lose some. What do you think this team's capable of more?
Well, no, before the game I definitely thought it was you win some, you lose some, but we've already lost two of them. We've had Brighton and Huddersfield. I thought surely we can't do it again, and we've done exactly that again. We've played a very tight, cagey two teams, kind of not really getting into the box, and it was always going to be settled by one goal, as Mickey says. And I just thought for once we'd be the ones to get the goal. And to be fair, we've had a few chances, Mickey. I think we had
a couple
of half chances in the first half. You're right, and then obviously last 10 minutes we did try and go to get the equaliser. Shelby's had a chance, Hosley's had a chance, but if any team looked like scoring before they scored, it was us again. And that's like, It's so frustrating saying that so many times, and I think it's just we said at the start of the season we're gonna struggle with quality in games like this. You know, on paper, our team isn't that much better. I think it is better than the Burnley side, as we sat and struggled to name where some
of
these.
I don't know who any of them are.
Aye, exactly. Struggled to find out where these players come from, but we do lack quality. We do lack the ability to break down even a team like Burnley. And we're going to need a bit of luck in games like this, and we've not had it yet.
Apart from last week.
It's definitely a conversation worth having, I think, because, Ben, is the away form now a problem? That's three defeats to teams that you'd think that were capable of getting results at: Burnley, Huddersfield and Brighton.
All 1-0, though.
The manner of the defeats and the narrow
margins
of them makes it even more frustrating. Do you think this is, you know what, like kind of posed to Sai, is this part of being a newly promoted Premier League team? People need to get off the team's back and accept it. Or do you think, you know what, it just takes a couple of different team selection or a couple of tactical tweaks, maybe a different approach to the game, to really take a lot more from these three fixtures? Because I think, as disappointing as the results have been, not scoring in those three games, I mean, against defensively sound teams. I mean, Burnley have lost two games this season, hardly conceded a goal, but we haven't looked like scoring, really.
The way we've approached all three games has been exactly the same, and it's just that lack of adventure, I guess, in terms of the just refuse to commit bodies forward. There was a few times tonight in the first half where we were getting into positions to deliver the ball, and there's just nobody in the box. I mean, we said it other than Atsu at the back post, trying to deliver like balls into the box against four tall defenders. Like, what the fuck were we playing at? I think I disagree with a bit there, Si. I don't think we really looked like scoring for a large part of that game.
We absolutely dominated the ball for about 10 minutes before the score. Like, we barely touched it. And when we did, it was just a string of terrible passes.
I think that's probably... our elite, like most ineffective game so far this season in terms of attacking. At least against, at least against Huddersfield and Brighton, we had one or two. We had one or two. Well, maybe yeah. But the Brighton one where we had the Perez one under the bar, and there was one or two others, and we finished the game better. But just, it's just the same. And I know, I suppose it would have been frustrating to go and try and take them on and get beat 3-0 or whatever, but it was a dire game. We lacked any sort of idea of how we were going to break them down. Too many players not with the confidence to do anything positive with the ball. Just the ball going back to the centre backs all the time, and Lascelles ending up with the ball a lot of times. In the end, played like a horrific ball out for a throw in, trying to force it, and it's just like he's not the man that needs to be doing that. We've got midfield players that should have the ability to do a bit more with the ball. I mean, we carved out one or two opportunities at the end with some nice little play. There was the Hosslu chance and the Hayden shot, but it was too little too late. The game had already gone. It was just a frustrating one.
It's a bit like us against Palace. There's no way Burnley were going to concede, I feel, in the end there. For me, the most disappointing aspect of it is it's a step back. I thought at Southampton, we've learned from our mistakes at Brighton, and we played on the front foot a lot more. Obviously, Southampton aren't as defensively sound a side as Burnley, or it doesn't seem that way. The game's a little bit more open, and they did come on to us a lot more than Burnley did, so maybe that's more down to it. Bolland, team selection-wise tonight, I'm not really sure if Diarmé and Shelvey is the answer. I'm not sure what the question is. What do you think about that selection? Not just that, but the whole team selection.
So, the team selection, I thought one of the big problems we had today was we don't have a massive amount of quality. And I think through the middle of the pitch, Shelvey with Diarmé just put a lot of responsibility on Shelvey to make something happen. And I don't think Perez has enough quality, and I don't think Hosselu either has enough quality to create anything through the middle. I think my point is so Hayden and Mourinho can sort of mitigate that fact because they're both quite good. Mourinho can help create things. It's sort of Palace, he managed to grab the goal when he came on. At Southampton, we had Hayden playing alongside Shelvey, so it takes away some of the pressure from him to try and being the only sort of creative outlet that we have through the middle of the pitch. So I think, I don't know, I don't understand the decision to play Diarmé today. I think you said at the start it was to challenge headers, but I mean, you've got to bring so much more to the game than just jumping. And as we know for a fact, Diarmé is rubbish in the air. So he literally was just there to jump with Ashley Barnes.
Well, so it's not just the selection, it just didn't work, did it?
Yeah, it just, the whole thing didn't really work.
The question everyone's having is, Perez or Diarmé at 10 for you?
Well, it's got to be Perez, but they're both not very good. Well, no, that's not that. That's slightly unfair, but like they both lack that like extra bit of quality I think you need at this level to sort of kick on and create chances. And
the army just doesn't look like football.
There's too often I thought that we just in attack we just broke down with Perez on the ball or Hosslu, I think. But it's just the way it's going to be. We don't have that much quality.
So I'll just to push you a little bit more then, because I think this we don't have that much quality is a bit of an easy out. We'll have enough quality to be ninth in the league and would have been sixth in the league today if we'd won the game. So I'm not completely disagreeing with you. I just think it's such an easy get out to say we haven't managed to score at these three grounds. Bear in mind we beat both two of the teams quite comfortably with the same team up against the same team last season. So I don't think it's acceptable really just to say it's a lack of quality, even though it's undoubtedly true. So I'm kind of undermining myself a bit.
No, I think the lack of quality thing, it's not an excuse, but it's why we play the way we do.
It's the mindset.
It's why we can't just go into a game trying to open up a team like this. It's why we play it.
So why did we go and dominate Brighton with Jack Colback in the team? I talked a little bit with Jack Colback in the team in February. I posed this question after Brighton, the defeat. Why have we gone and almost tried to do a containing job when in March this year against Huddersfield, against two of the same opposition? Why the change in approach? We haven't got worse. We haven't got sufficiently better, as we'd hoped in the summer, absolutely, but we haven't got worse. Why the negative approach?
Well, last season we were playing against a Brighton and a Huddersfield who were near the top of the table, and they were playing a bit more open. We've come to all three of these teams and they've done exactly what we've done all season, which is sit and play tight, and it was always going to be that way. And I think, as Bolland says, because we haven't really got that 20 goals a season striker or or even like a number 10 who's actually good at footy. But like, we have to play tight and just see if we can nick something, because we haven't got the quality to just take these games to teams. I think it's just different in the Premier League. Thank
you. We've struggled in games this year where we've had more possession. I've just checked today, we had 53. I think all the games we've won so far this year, we haven't had more possession than the other team. And you can see when we were holding onto the ball for a while, there's no ideas. And when we give teams, especially teams like Burnley that are reasonably good defensively, when we give them the chance to set properly, we're not going to break them down, because we don't have the lock pick. We don't have the quality number 10, or we just don't have it. And then
my best midfielder was injured today.
Yeah, and I think playing Diame alongside Chelvey, it's a bizarre shout. I don't really know where that's come from, and it's. Diame played too far forward to allow Shelvey to play his normal game. Alongside Marino, alongside Hayden, Shelvey can be the more attacking, and he suits that better of the two in the middle of the park. And Diame was just wandering around, seeming like lost. But his performance impacted Shelvey, I think, quite heavily.
Well, on that, I was going to say, I don't want to just let Shelvey off this. I didn't think Diame had a good game, but I don't think anyone had a good game. But Ben, we kind of discussed this off air a little bit. Our two most reliable creative players tonight, Richie and Shelvey, would it be fair to say they both had massive off nights for you? Or do you think it was, you can't pinpoint this on any individual players, it's a team issue?
I think you have, unfortunately, the way we are there, you have to put a lot of focus. These two must know that they're the best players in the team by a long shot, in terms of the only two that have got any real ability to beat a man or play a sort of an attacking ball in dangerous positions. And tonight, I mean, it took Richie. I mean, we were saying it was weird. I mean, he took Richie off. I sort of probably would have liked to have seen him stayed on, just because I know he's got a bit more quality to impact the game and might do something a bit better. I mean, even his delivery is probably the best in the team. But again, like, he didn't do a lot when he had the opportunities. It took us a while to get him into the game. And even then, him and Yedlin didn't really sort of dovetail very well together. I mean, the best sort of move of the match was a long ball from Shelvey to Yedlin. Didn't have anything to do with Richie. It was just, I guess it was just difficult maybe for them two to get the space because of the way Burnley played. But you've got to be at least have a go and try things. I just think tonight we were far too conservative in play. Nobody really tried any attacking balls or anything. It was just too easy and too safe all the time.
I think to what you said at the start, I think every time we lose, it's going to be because of a team effort. I don't think either Richie or Shelvey are quite good enough to be the kind of players that are going to grab a Premier League game by the scruff of the neck and just change it. Like, all right, you might get a worldy ball from Shelvey every now and again, but they're just not that type of player, and they need the rest of the team to be functioning well for, you know, them to sort of excel as well. Like, you need someone to make the runs for Shelvey, you need, you know, balls in for Richie and things. The whole team has to work. We don't have an abundance of quality, but we are quite a good team, and if the whole team's not playing well, then things like tonight are going to happen, in my opinion, I think.
Miggy, the Spanish duo up top, Perez and Hossolu, getting a lot of heat at the moment. Because to be fair, ever since West Ham and Stoke, really, I suppose you could throw Swansea in the mix actually, they haven't really impacted the game at the top end of the pitch. I know Perez does his defensive pressing and stuff, and he put plenty of graft in tonight, I thought. You know, there's a lot of people, and again, it's social media, so it's full of shite, but there's a lot of people demanding that there's a change made for the weekend. Would you stick with those two?
That's a difficult one. I don't agree with the social media brigade that tear Perez a new one every single week. I think he's got a place in this squad, and Rafa trusts him, and he does do a lot to break other teams down from the front, which is effective and is useful. But there's an obvious issue with how little we create that comes through Perez for a number 10 in the Premier League. It doesn't happen. No other team in the league have got like a defensive player playing number 10. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. The issue we've got, obviously, is who replaces them.
I think the only option is you go back to Diame and Gale. It's the only sort of thing I can see changing it with. The issue of those two is that I don't think Perez is quite creative enough to play number 10. He's obviously quite a good finisher. You can see, like, he can strike the ball well. I don't think he's quite suited to playing number 10. And Hosolu, I've spoken about on the podcast. And, like, I think his hold-up play at times is good, and I think he brings other players in, but I just worry that for a Premier League team, we've got two guys playing up front that just aren't going to get us the goals. That's a major concern. Hosolu, throughout his Stoke career and previous, is not a prolific goal scorer, and that could be an issue, but to answer Mickey's question, Diame and Gale, bring the lads back.
I think you're still going to have the same issue, though, that you've got with these two, in that they're not getting good enough ball into them to do anything. I mean, Hosolu tonight, I don't really remember him having a ball played into him where he'd like had an opportunity to bring it down and bring Perez into the game. It was 50-50 headers that he was generally losing.
Or like 60-yard long balls, like just...
That was 60-yard long balls. I think if you played Perez and Diome and Gale up front, you're going to have the same issue, and it's the same issue we've had every time Perez has been coming on. We can't get any balls into him for him to do anything of use. So I think it's difficult. I don't really see how we're going to fix it without having Marino back in the team, because we need better delivery into the four players.
That's the thing. It's so harsh judging players on tonight, and I know it's not, you know, Perez and Hosolu aren't just judged on tonight, but we're really, I know Marino didn't start against Palace, but I would like to see Dwight Gale start with Shelvey and Marino in the team to find him with balls made, runs he makes in between the centre backs and the full backs. But you know what, Hosolu, he does hold the ball up well. When Hosolu and Perez, on the like two occasions they actually stood within 10 yards of each other tonight when we were in possession, I thought they did link up pretty well, played some nice footy. Like, I know it happens like unbelievably rarely, but I think that both of them do have the required skill. But I also think you make a valid point that it's not working. I mean, obviously,
we didn't put any crosses anywhere near Hosolu, as Ben said earlier. Like, every cross from the right ended up with that, yeah. Every cross from the left hit the first man. Or...
That was my point. So, I mean, trying to kind of work out tonight. I'm at the stage about tonight where I'm okay with it, in the sense that we should have taken a draw, if that makes sense. Like, I can live with that performance, and we'll have to live with it. And ninth in the Premier League, 14 points after 10 games, is a decent return for this side. And the players aren't shit. The players aren't useless, as a lot of people are saying, because it's social media, Newcastle have got beat. I'm just frustrated that against Huddersfield, against Brighton, and against these, we've got to take a point side. Like, it's got to be, we've got to take something from those nine, and we've taken nothing. That's where I'm just a little bit reticent to just be our quality, lack of quality, so we'll lose those three games. It's kind of not, I wouldn't say not good enough, but it's below the required, or below expectation for what you'd expect from those fixtures in terms of who we're up against. I was going to go to side, Ben, but you want to come in?
Just on that point there, the lack of quality is the reason we're not winning these games. You're completely right, though. The team's got the structure and the ability and the sort of, what's the word, I suppose, the concentration, and they've got everything there to the same as these other teams. These other teams aren't any better in defending than we are, I don't think. It's just we keep finding ourselves giving teams these one opportunities where they're nicking a goal, and we're not getting the same from the other teams, and it's just a moment lapse. But it's cost, as you say, it cost me 3 points out of nine, and it's just that's the frustration, where we didn't deserve to lose any of those games.
Yeah, Si, are we in danger of becoming a bit easy to play against? I remember the conversation we had before Stoke on the Stoke Preview podcast, when we said ahead of the Stoke game, because of the result at Swansea, because of the result against West Ham and how well we played, that there was no way Stoke were going to come and try and capitalise possession and run the game. And for some mental reason, they didn't. And we prospered and should have won the game by more than 2-1. Do you think that it might become an issue for us? I mean, if looking at the weekend, where teams start to realise that, like Mickey said, if they give us the ball and sit deep, we simply don't have the answers to those questions? Or do you think, you know what, it's just been a couple of bad games away from home?
A little bit of both, but I think it's nobody's beaten us by doing that. I think Burnley have had to work really hard and got a bit of a lucky break there, Brighton got a lucky break from a set piece. Huddersfield scored a worldie. Like, nobody's beaten us or worked us out. The games we've lost this season have all been very close and could have gone either way. In terms of us on the ball, I think you're right, Mickey. I think when we've got the ball and too much time, we almost don't make good use of it. I think the most frustrating thing tonight was just the accuracy of the passing. Like, so, we were so slow to move the ball from one side of the pitch to the other because the passes were 2 or 3 yards away from the player. When that's not happening, we're class. But today, we just couldn't get it right. The way we play like this, when we need to make use of the ball, it's the passes have got to be perfect. We've got to get the ball up the channels really quickly, and we just weren't doing that at all today. I think it was just, the latter dogger. I think it was just another off day.
Fair enough, and there'll be a few. I mean, any newly promoted side, you're always going to lose games that you probably think you've got a chance in, and you're always going to pick up points probably where you don't expect it, which is kind of par for the course. But Mick, I just want to ask you a bit about Rafa's substitutions tonight. Ben thought he shouldn't have taken Matt Ritchie off. We thought he should have brought Gale on way before. I mean, Hosslew had stopped holding up the ball. Burnley were playing a really high line, as Sire Bolland pointed out. Should he have maybe been a little bit more proactive trying to win the game? Or, is it just one of those nights?
It was screaming for Gale. The second half was screaming for Gale to come on earlier than he did. And it's not that like Rafa to leave it that late. He normally does something earlier. You normally see him start to think about the subs at 65 and people are on by 70, and it wasn't. And then I can't quite get my head around what's his name? Hayden being the first sub ahead of Gale. It's madness. So I think that was poor game management, to be honest. But
I think he just brought Hayden on to get us moving the ball a bit faster, because I said earlier in the centre of the pitch we just weren't doing that. Like, Shelby didn't really have anyone to give it to. Diame spends far too long on the ball, and I've said that since we got him. Like, it takes two touches before he does anything. And I think Hayden was just there to try and speed the game up. I thought Murphy was a bit more odd, because he just looks like he's totally bereft of confidence.
Just looks like a bloke who's hard to play footy, doesn't he? Murphy, again, it's social media, so you shouldn't give it too much weight. But people saying £12 million, what a waste of money. Judge the kid once he's played 3 or 4 games in the Premier League. Like you said, Si, it's harsh. The only time we see Murphy is when we're getting beat. They've got everyone behind the ball, and we're absolutely desperate and bereft of ideas. So, again, it mustn't be great for his confidence. It's like travelling to the match tonight, wanting to get on the pitch, but knowing that for him to get on the pitch, we'll have to get beat. Can't be ideal.
I sort of noticed when you watched him, you could sort of see that in his head he's thinking, I should just run at this player. And then there's just that moment where he goes, no, just cut it back or passed it sideways, and you're like, no, just have a go. Like, 1-0 down, just run at them. Like,
he didn't look forward once, did he, when he came on? Not once.
I mean, that's the mindset of the team, in that it's just they seem reluctant to take risks. And I can understand from his point of view, if he looks up, he's got a wall of about 3 or 4 Burnley players ahead of him. It's like, right, what's the best idea here? But you've got to try and do something. But I go back to the point, the ball was finding its way back to our centre backs far too much, and it's something we get guilty of when we're trying to move the ball around. There was a passage of play where we were like, Christ, that's bad, where we must have misplaced about 5 passes in one stretch.
I know exactly.
Where we went from an attacking good position, and it ended up back with losing the ball or giving it back to the one of the centre backs, and you just think, just what the fuck's going on? These professional players they've got the ability to play that sort of interlink and play, but just I don't know if it's lack of quality or lack of concentration, or what. But it was just a frustrating night. I think that would look like it was just an off night, because these players don't play like that all the time. That they're better than that, but I don't know. It's just a frustrating one.
It's very Newcastle United, wasn't it? Like, after Palace and the chance to go 6th tonight, heading into Bournemouth, would it, how excited would we all have been? I'm still excited for Bournemouth, but it would have been a clear the fucking diary type thing where if we're beating these and beating Bournemouth.
I don't have a diary, dog.
It would be it would have been some night on the town, but, and it still might be. It's just I think it's, we're all, we should all be used to this by now. This is Newcastle United, and as people said, this is Mike Ashley's Newcastle United with the talent that we've got. It's frustrating. and demoralising. But, you know, these lads have given up plenty of highs this season. I'm sure they'll give up plenty more. Si, you were very confident in the match preview, and you have a feeling a few Burnley fans might be in touch who are unhappy. You know, like, if you take look at that game in context tonight, and I'm trying to think, we've got Man United away next, which is, you know, it's Man United away. I don't think anyone will be expecting what to play any differently or more expansively than tonight. But would you be hoping if we're played, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a shit team like a
West Brom
away or someone like that, would you expect the approach to change, or is this just like buckle in because this is the crack of the season until January at least, depending on the sale?
No, West Brom away will be exactly the same as these three games, but we can't possibly lose another 1-0. So next time we'll get some luck. Honestly, I think there is going to be loads of games like this where we're playing the teams in and around us, the teams in that kind of middle pack that aren't the bottom three or the bottom five, but the teams that will finish between like 8th and 15th. It's going to be the same every time, home and away. We saw it with Palace. It's just kind
of... Is it though? Because Palace was a weird one, but I would really hope we approach Bournemouth, who are in the relegation zone, with a bit more, I don't know what the right word is, but, you know, certainly a bit more intent.
Panache?
Well, no. But
Bournemouth are bottom three. I think we'll still start the game as we do, quite solidly, and then look to get into it as we did it again today. We sat and absorbed a bit of pressure for the first 15 minutes, and then we did have a little spell for about 10 minutes after 15 and created a couple of chances and had a good bit. And that's where we need to start getting a goal. If we get the goal in that first half period, I think we go on comfortably in this sort of match.
We didn't have any shots, I so well saying if we get the goal, we didn't have any shots in the first half.
It was final ball.
Neither did they, like, but
yeah,
you know.
It was final ball end product today. We've gone on about it all night. It was quality. It was that, just kind of that last pass was so poor tonight from everyone, from Richie, from Atsu, from Perez. Like, everyone was just making the wrong decision or just playing a shite ball. That's not going to happen every game. We'll win the next away game, man.
Which is Man United, I hope so, because I'm going. That would be nice, and I'm going to West Brom as well, so I really hope it wasn't like this game tonight. But, you know, Mickey, it's the first time we've spoken to you in a little while in the podcast, so great to see you, mate. But, you know, like, where are you at now with this team? Is it kind of like, you know, what, ninth after 10 games, if you need to try and detach the kind of performance tonight and the disappointment with the realistic proposition of being in the top 10? However, we're only 6 points off the relegation zone, and that can change quickly.
Well, that's true, but what more could we really have asked for at the start of the season than to be in this position now? We're ninth in the league. We've been playing well. We've been winning games. We're playing some decent football. Like, with the squad we've got, that really this is a pretty good turnout. I'm pleased, and we've lost a couple of games away from home, which are frustrating. But we're ninth in the league, so take the picture as a whole. Take the season as a whole so far. It's positive. There's no one can argue against that. And I think it's just typical Newcastle and typical Newcastle fans that everyone will be going absolutely mental tonight and all through the week about how we're crap and we're never going to score again and that all the kind of shite you normally get on social media. But there's nothing too much to be worried about, I don't think. We just need to keep plugging away, keep putting points on the board, hope we bring in a couple of better quality players in January and push on from there. But I'm happy with the way the season's gone so far.
Fair enough.
At the risk of annoying you, it could have gone a little bit better had we had we picked up points. Right, yeah. No, it's a joke. It was a joke. I think it's been good. I think what we've got to remember is that it's still quite a young team, and games like today, there can't be many players in that team that are used to winning away in the Premier League. So so it is a bit of a learning curve for them, and I think, as you've said, I thought we'd be in real relegation danger, which we haven't escaped yet, but to be where we are, it's a pretty good start, and replicated over the course of the season, we'll stay up, just about.
53 points if we carry on the way we are. We'll have 53 points if we carry on the way we are.
I think what we've seen, there's much, much worse teams than us. So that's the sort of the confidence I take, is that we look like we can keep clean sheets. We look really solid defensively. And because of that, we're going to frustrate a lot of teams. a lot of better teams than we've been playing. I think that's where we might surprise a few people in terms of some of the results. I mean, the Southampton one, that's a team that we've gone away to for a number of years and had embarrassing performances there. We should have won that game and we're very unlucky not to. And I think there'll be a lot of teams that'll expect to turn us over that'll be frustrated and that we might be up with next stuff. So it's frustrating when we're playing these teams that we feel like we can match, go toe-to-toe with and could be beaten. But again, I think it's just that's the level we'll match with those teams and we can't get too downhearted when we get beat at our own game.
Getting beat at our own game. We invented this shit. Yeah, fair enough. I'm really fascinated by the game with Burnley. Obviously, Burnley, Bournemouth. Certainly wasn't fascinated by the game with Burnley. Just because it's such a big game that if we were to lose, would be quite close to Bournemouth in the league. I don't think we'll lose, but it's almost like you just want that little bit of a gap to start opening up between us and the bottom three. And I'm still wondering who's actually going to get relegated this season. I mean, yeah, Palace, they look shot. I suppose you're looking down at your West Ham and your Bournemouth. I mean, Everton, if they get Allardyce, should probably be alright. Everton should be alright anyway.
Swansea,
I suppose, is a good shot. But yeah, I just want to be far away from those teams. I suppose, and Rafa said it through the week, that the main aim is still to avoid relegation.
I still think Brighton and Huddersfield will be down there. I think they just don't have enough. The game plan, like, they can't get away with that game plan all the time. We've at least, when we've got Mourinho in the team, got a bit more adventure about us and a bit.
I'm pleased you brought War Mikel up because he was a massive loss tonight. Even just his presence, like, even from the bench on Saturday, everyone was buzzing when he came on. We didn't have that tonight. So it was supposedly a back injury, but I really hope he's back. Playing.
Pardon the pun.
I know, for Saturday, and you know, I'm looking forward to it. And again, Bolland, I mean, you've kind of touched on there. It's the first time we've spoken to you in a while as well. Are you kind of just, is this just one of those games that collectively as a fan base we just need to move on from and quick?
Yeah, well, Rafa keeps saying we've just got to take it game by game. So we've lost this one, it's on to the next. Get 3 points at Bournemouth, this will be forgotten. Like, keep winning at home, there's no issues. Like, we'll be fine. I think we weren't great, but we weren't awful either, and there's a good chance we could have come out of that 0-0. So it's not like, do you remember we went to Everton away and Leicester away the year we went down when it was just horrid and it was like we deserved to get pummeled? This just wasn't the case. I think just forget about it, move to Bournemouth, pick up 3 points, life's good again.
The Bournemouth game will be interesting because they're obviously a team that are very well documented to be look like an attacking team that want possession of the ball and we'll come and have a go at it. So it's going to play, I'm hoping they'll play into our hands, and obviously their players are low on confidence, they've been struggling to get results, they've not got a huge amount of quality, they've got a bit of an injury crisis as well, in terms of they've got a few players that miss at the minute, so that it's potentially a big game that we could play into our hands and allow us to play our natural game and pick them off. So I'm confident for that game. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be. It's always nice to. You just want the next game to come, I suppose. Now after tonight, and you know,
only five days.
Correct, Mickey. I mean, do you feel for the away fans tonight? They were in because it was boisterous and loud throughout. So it's not a bad atmosphere at the game. Full stop. By the sound of it, compared to most Premier League games, home and away fans, but two of the Premier League's best teams, top 10 up against each other. Si, I think I'll give the final word to you unless there's anything anyone wants to speak about. You know, are Burnley a decent team? Is a 1-0 defeat at Burnley, from what you saw tonight, not the end of the world? Because you know what, Burnley have only lost two games this season and they won't lose many more.
No, I'll maintain what I said in my match preview. Burnley are shite, but they're set up well. And they played us at our own game and just kept
really?
It tight.
Because I'm pretty sure that is their game.
The shite. It's another poor result, but we'll move on.
Okay, lads, unless there's anything else, we'll wrap this up here. Thanks very much for listening. We might have a Bournemouth preview out this week. With the games being so close together, we'll have to get back to you on that. tweet us if you want a Bournemouth preview, but if no one tweets, we'll just sack it off and be back with you probably next Sunday after the Bournemouth game. Thanks everyone who's left a positive review on iTunes. You can also get these podcasts now on YouTube. You know, that they'll probably be go about 24 hours later or 12 hours later than on the usual places you listen them to, but do check that out and check out the True Faith YouTube channel, TF and UFC Fanzine. Disappointing night, but we'll win on Saturday. Thanks for listening.